Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Provincetown, Massachusetts. I took photos so you can see that we're sitting on our guest's deck at the inn that she is staying out here in Provincetown. I saw her show last night. She is fucking phenomenally talented. Phenomenally talented. I'm not starting this episode with I'm in a bad mood. You know why? Because if you could see what the fuck I'm looking at right now, it's unbelievable. Oh, it's Jesus. Unbelievable. Born in Yonkers, just a true New Yorker and a talent, lady of a thousand voices, host of on Sirius XM, even though I did have a show there. And then, I could do something negative. I had a show on Sirius XM.
Oh, did
and
you?
Yeah. And then they just were like, no. And then I was in negotiations for my own show. And they were like, right at the, you know, like, okay, we'll accept it. They're like, oh, forget it. This woman, I don't know. I've known her since I moved to New York. I've known who she was. She's been in Forbidden Broadway, Forbidden Hollywood, Musical the Musical. She's been on Broadway. She was a Mama Morton in Chicago. She, Little Me with Martin Short and Faith Prince, that's on Broadway. And she was like a woman of 5,000 voices in talk radio, which was a great, great show starring, what's his name? Liev.
Yeah.
Lev.
No, you got it right.
Can you be, it's so Jewy, that name.
It's pretty.
And yes,
I don't know.
That's a Jew bell, sorry.
Oh, what was,
so anything that is any remotely Jewish gets a bell.
Oh, good.
So that, and everyone hates it. But I need to, with the, our brand is going down. You know, the Jew brand with Jeffrey Epstein and Stephen Miller and, you know, Jared Kushner, Michael Cohen. So, you know, I'm just pointing out that we do contribute good things. Okay,
of course.
So she was on The Sopranos, dead.
debt.
And her name, if you don't know already, you're a fucking idiot, is Christine Petty, ladies and gentlemen. Yay!
I'm going to put that on my answering machine, Judy.
Okay, that's good. The fact that you said answering machine makes me feel so fucking old. You know, I saw your show last night here in Provincetown. And if you hear seagulls and stuff, it's because we're outside, as you'll see.
Oh, puff.
Yeah. And, you know, I do the same thing in my act where I have to say, you know, I had a landline. You know, like you have to fucking explain what mailing a letter is.
I couldn't mail a letter. And it was to get into affordable housing, the actor's housing.
Right.
And I was on my way out of town and I went outside just to mail a letter. I don't never leave the house unless there's major multitasking involved.
All right.
I remember reading somewhere, this was probably 20 years ago, this article, but it said, if you leave your apartment, it's a $20 exit fee.
Oh, yeah. I remember that article.
Yeah.
About living in New York. Yeah.
And so I'd never leave the apartment with just one task in hand, but I had to get this letter in the mail. I walked probably a radius of 5 blocks in every direction.
And you couldn't find a mailbox?
Find a freaking mailbox. Then I went to the post office.
Oh, yeah.
Mailbox was locked.
Are you fucking kidding me?
To mail a letter is ridiculous.
But you know they've now changed it. So it's a slot instead of pulling the thing down. You know, you pull
maybe
the drawer down.
Locked.
Oh, no, it's now a slot. Because
I tried to open it all the way and it wouldn't go. So,
No.
Oh, so they think I've done it. I've stood there.
Yeah, I've stood there.
Jesus.
And been like, I'm a fucking idiot. And then I figured out it's a slot.
Well, I was. I was officially a fucking idiot because I had to go to Canada and mail it there.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Wasn't it more postage?
I didn't care.
I was trying to get affordable housing, you know. So
yeah, fuck it.
We'll try. Speaking of housing, I can't believe we're
saying. You know,
I'm sorry to gloat you guys, but I will. You know, look.
I just can't with this. It's so beautiful. I love it here so much. I can't even tell. Yeah. Don't come here. But if you're, you know, like just if you're thinking of coming, it's already too crowded. And if you're straight, go to Wellfleet or Hyannis.
Is that where they go?
No, they come here now because we wanted equality.
Well, I'm straight, but I'm sort of.
No, you're
so
part of the gay.
Adjacent.
You're the gay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Christine, let's start. You're extremely talented. You know, you're one of those people who's just a savant. You're like it's amazing. And I find you fascinating on many levels. But to start from we always talk about childhoods because I hated mine. So, and I just want, if you're young and you're like, people like to know, I like to know about the person. Now, you were born in Yonkers, the Bronx.
Yonkers Hospital.
Yeah. Then you were lived in the Bronx and then
just
Eastchester.
For a year or two, and then we went up to Eastchester. I went to high school in New Rochelle.
Yes. You went to a Catholic girls' school.
Oh, very fancy pants Catholic girls' school, which I paid for half of in student aid. You know what I mean? Like I worked. I'd worked since I was old enough to have a paper route. I've never not worked. I don't understand.
I know.
Here
no,
we go.
I have
Here
kids.
We go. Come on. This is.
No,
these
that's not
kids
Jewish.
Today. Oh, it's not?
Oh.
Oh, I beg to differ. These kids today, they don't have it like we had it. They have to work.
Horrible.
Come on. And I wanted it. I loved it. I loved getting my own money.
But you had your own money. I started babysitting. I mean, I did get in trouble because I was babysitting these kids up the hill. I lived at the bottom of a hill. And
where was the hill?
In New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
No, I love New Jersey. I love New Jersey. I'm not happy about the town they picked. My parents picked. All right. My parents. and, you know, I'm very childish and childlike. And I let them ride their skateboard in the kitchen after we threw buckets of water on the floor. Like an idiot. Like, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'm like 12. But I was tall. Like, people think tall people are more mature.
That's right.
And so they came home and every one of their towels was like soaking wet. Yeah, I lost the job. But I still, when I ran into the kids, I'd be like, was I your favorite babysitter? Like, I'm such a fuck. Oh, they were Jews. Okay. Anyway. So your parents were both hairdressers.
My father went to hairdressing school because he thought he could meet women that way. And indeed he did.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact,
where was he from, by the way?
The Bronx. My mother was from Yonkers. He was from the Bronx.
And both Italian?
Both totally Italian.
So, and then where did they come from in Italy?
They, both first generation.
Yeah.
So my father's parents were from Sicily.
Oh, God.
The mother's from Calabria. Oh, wow. Not only, oh, God. Let me tell you something. We had the DNA done.
Yeah.
All right. So they're essentially 75 to 80% totally Italian. And then there's a Greek and, you know, Eastern right. European in there.
Because people go fuck and then come
that's
back.
Right. Yeah. So, but in the what they do is every country that you might be from, like if you're a little Greek, they'll put little green dots around Greece.
Oh, yeah. I know. I have
and
that.
And if you're blue, they'll put blue dots around Albania, whatever. If the Italian dots were yellow.
Right.
My mother had yellow dots around the southern region of the boot,
right.
which is Calabria.
Right.
Peppered around the southern region.
Right.
My father, on the island of Sicily, there were so many goddamn dots. It was one huge yellow throbbing orb, okay?
Yeah.
And I am so freaking Sicilian that you should step away.
Right.
You should
so
really
do you,
be afraid.
Do you, is that, I mean, I know a lot of Sicilian people. It is kind of true about that.
They're crazy.
Yeah, the temper, the...
I don't even know
if it's a temper more than it's like a passion, yeah, overly passionate.
Yeah. Well, from my people, they were mountain people and a lot of inbreeding. Oh, so
really?
Much. Oh, my God in heaven. My parents, my father's parents were first cousins. Now here's the thing. Ooh, right?
No, because my grandparents were second cousins.
Okay. Well, what'll even help us understand it more is when I went to Calabria to visit, my mother and father and I went.
Right.
And my mother's parents lived on neighboring mountaintops, basically.
Okay.
Also gorgeous.
Right.
Also, we went to the villages high up. The air was clean.
Right,
and the view of the Ionian Sea. And, of course, you and I would want to buy a place to, like, go and have our nervous breakdowns
and
write our books there now.
Right.
But they were peasants and they wanted a better life.
Right.
So I thought, wait, my grandmother lived on this mountain. He lived on that mountain. How did they find each other? Well, back then in the early 1920s, I guess, you didn't just say, see you, Pop. I'm going to go out with the girls and, you know, meet some guys. You didn't. First of all, they'd kill you.
Right.
You had to be chaperoned because you didn't go out as it was not virtuous. And it was dangerous.
Right.
It was dangerous.
Yes.
So you couldn't. I realized visiting my mother's side that they met because they would have parties. They would have a big festival or party or something, and they both mountain people would meet somewhere.
Mountain, would they see the party from the other mountaintop?
No, they'd know about it.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
They weren't so far away that the word didn't get out, you know, that there was going to be a party on this day or whatever. So I believe that's how they met, was at some party that were, you know, both the community went to from both villages and both mountains. Okay, then I suddenly realized, oh, that's why people, you know, married their cousins in Sicily. Sicily was very dangerous. So my grandmother wasn't going to. I said, Mama, how did you, you know, why didn't you go look for somebody else?
Well, how were they going to get there? It's
well,
not
exactly.
Like,
it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy to travel, period.
And the real running joke is I was interviewing her and it's somewhere on a cassette tape. Kids, a cassette tape. Anyway, so I interviewed her and my father was listening and I said, so Mama, you married your cousin, so you're a petty and he was a petty. I said, so what was your mother's maiden name? Petty. No, Mama. Your father's name was Petty. I know, and you married a Petty. Your name before you got married. Petty. I said, no, but your mother's name. What was her name? Petty. My mother's a Petty. My father's a Petty. Now, my father sat here at the kitchen table and went, what? What? I did not know this.
Think you have any... I always attribute my, you know, depression, anxiety... any medical issue I have, arthritis, you know, to the fact that my grandparents were second cousins.
I don't think that applies. My mother checked this out before she got married, that as long as if her kids were going to be okay,
right.
They said, no, as long as you and your husband are not second cousins, you know what I mean? Or first cousins.
Right.
So I don't know, but I'll consider it.
Yeah.
I really will.
Now, you know what? As I talk to you, I realize I should talk to every one of my guests about how their family came to America. Because I talk about...
Absolutely.
That's an important thing I'm adding to my podcast. Listeners, okay.
Last time I saw Fiddler on the Roof, it never dawned on me in all these years to think about my grandmother actually 16. One of them, the other was maybe in her 20s. Getting on a boat and coming here.
Oh, my
culture shock.
Can you imagine kids today going, listen, we got to get out of here? It would be like, wait, let me Snapchat before I leave. I got to take a video and, you know,
and there's
have no fucking idea.
Oh, but they also have no separation anxiety because we're really not separated because we can, you know,
exactly.
find each other in the palm of our hand.
Right.
But so Fiddler, I was weeping because I was weeping because I said suddenly this time around, every time you see a play, it resonates on a different level for a different reason. And
this Yiddish one you're talking about.
No, the one okay. before that, the Yiddish one, I'll be in a puddle.
Oh, my Elisa, my lover. Mm-hmm.
That's hysterical. That's Jewish.
Elisa.
Oh, she's Jewish.
Yeah.
Oh, I get love it.
Her.
Okay.
Elisa Dawn. She was sobbing because her grandmother was from Russia and from one of the, and she went there with her. And just the language, the Yiddish, she kept, you know, all these words they were saying was like bringing her back. And she was very close with her grandmother. So first of all, that Yiddish one, the Yiddish.
Everybody says to see it. Yeah.
The only way to see It is the only way to see Fiddler on the Roof.
So
it's my favorite, you know, as a Jew, I have, you know, how many, I don't know how many times I've fucking
Jewish
seen it.
For a minute because my ear, it's
I'm sorry. It's okay. People complain about it, but.
No, oh, that's okay. Touch it and then the resonance stops. That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fun to tap the little.
I know you can, you know, I'm at the point where if I forget, the guest will always go, All right.
Oh, I did it.
I know.
Two of those were mine.
Yeah.
Not the recent ones, but.
Yeah. But it's amazing that Yiddish Fiddler. But your first, wait, I have this thing. You know,
You take notes.
I do. I do a lot of research, but my notebook is in my New York apartment. So the last two I've had to write on paper.
Oh, God, paper.
And it's not.
Kids, paper.
Paper. It's made from trees. Mm-hmm. And it's called, all right, and then we'll move on. What is this where people are like, oh, you don't need to write cursive. Yes, you do.
Oh, kiss my ass with that
stuff.
Fuck
you, you fucking fuck.
I can't stand it. You know what it is? Yeah, what's the whole point? Isn't the whole point of cursive is that you have a signature, meaning it is your personal mark that people cannot, you know, there's nothing that says, I approve of this. I acknowledge this.
And it's
a signature.
And your signature says something about you.
Of course it does.
Oh. But now it's all about the fucking, you know, your retina and your fingerprint. It's just fuck. We've turned into we're like fucking robots.
That's all.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
The first album that you ever heard was My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
And the first album you owned was Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah. So My Fair Lady, go ahead.
Okay. So A, I know that you grew up just listening to Broadway shows.
Not really. Only
those two?
Not until high school.
Okay.
So I didn't quite
so
grow up.
You heard My Fair Lady, which, by the way, was my father's favorite musical. Loved it. He was born in 1916, my father. Oh. So, but he loved that. And then he loved Bye Bye. My father, I don't know. Elise is like, he must have been a little. And I'm like, no, he was not gay. Okay. He was a gentleman. He had a garden.
Too.
You know, the garden, loved theater, loved.
Did he care about sports? Mine didn't.
Could have
cared less.
Could have cared less, except he did go to Rutgers. We all went to Rutgers because we lived in New Jersey. But at one point in like the late 70s, I think, they were either in the final, the eight or the four, the final four of the NCAA. And I remember he was like really like, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack, which is what he died of if they don't win. Okay, so, and they didn't win, but.
So My Fair Lady was his favorite.
He loved theater. Yeah. You know what I used to watch with him?
What?
Lawrence Welk Show.
That's that a trip. That's a trippy thing to watch now.
If you have want to get stoned and do something, do it to the Lawrence Welk Show.
It was pretty trippy sober.
Yeah. No. I'm saying now, you know, you get a whole other.
Oh, yes.
Because you're just like, oh, my. Who are these fucking people? Is it
the
a
Lemon
cult?
Sisters.
Oh, my God. And it's so sort of God and religion and I don't know. It's so wholesome, but they were so talented and. They now repeat them with the people who, the one.
Coming back and reminiscing. The accordion player.
Yes.
And the hair.
The hair.
Which is what made my parents, which was basically what bought my parents' first house.
So, so you're a little girl. Siblings?
Brother, sister. Not theatrical. Could care less.
Same. Now, what are you number? One, two,
one.
Or three?
Oldest.
Wow.
Obsessing,
that's
you know, worried about everything.
See, Elisa. Mm-hmm. Is an oldest, and I'm the youngest.
Ah, very different.
And she thinks she fucking knows everything and bosses me around. It's so fucking annoying. But
but if you're the youngest, you shouldn't give a damn because you're looser and, you know.
Oh, I'm so, shouldn't worry about I'm stuff. So, you know, feel like I'm a piece of shit. Anyway, but, you know, antidepressants.
We'll talk about that in our next session.
So you are this little girl. Now, your parents own this salon, which they ended up selling once the blow dryer became popular. Is that
correct?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. You know, in the early 70s, that's what happened.
Did you hang out at the salon?
As a little girl, I mean little, I was in the single digits, remember?
Yeah.
I remember going there. My mother was very cute, had a cute little figure. Basically, my father became a hairdresser to meet women,
right.
And indeed, he met my mother. He had to deliver something from, they used to have chains of beauty salons in the different department stores.
Oh, yes,
and they worked for, my father worked for one in New York, and he had to make a delivery to one in, I think Mount Vernon, but he accidentally went to the one in Yonkers.
Oh,
and that's where I saw my mother.
Dang, it was Beshert.
Well, and so they got married and then opened a tiny salon.
Were they very young when they got married?
Oh, yes, very young. My mother was 19. Yeah.
Oh, my
and
God.
My father wasn't. He was 29. But
do you want to hear how old my mother was?
How old?
She was 32. She got married in 1954.
Wow.
32, which is like, she had me at 41. My father was 48.
Gosh.
Okay.
That's a lot. Yeah, well, good for them. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. I mean, they're
Mavericks.
Dead. It sucks, but
I know.
I did have this completely different perspective of the world because my grandmother who lived, you know, I shared a room with her every weekend in our house. And she was born in 1896. So
my grandfather was 1897. Yeah.
And just the, She's what she used to yell, tell me, oh, my grandmother, I loved you, Dorothy. She told me, like, these were the things that she said were so important. Penmanship. reading. She wanted me to read Little Women.
Mm.
And
Was she from here?
She was. I'm fourth generation on my mother's side and second on my father's. But anyway, it's just interesting the value system. And I just, did your father know when he was like, oh, I'll be a hairdresser, I'll meet women, that they were all going to be gay except for him?
You know, that has never come up.
Yeah.
It is. I should have to ask my mother about that. That's never come up. And when they had their salon, they had all female operators, as they called them, the operators. And I remember them. I remember the little pink uniforms and they had teased hair. And I don't remember any guys. And it never even occurred to you. No, it never occurred to me. And my parents, there just weren't any I'm sure they were around, but not in their circle.
Did your father cut? What did he do at the salon? What was the name of the salon?
Salvatore's Hair Designs.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Salvatore's Hair Designs. You know, that was in the era of Vidal Sassoon.
Right.
And everything, you know. But they didn't do that kind of hair. They didn't do that asymmetrical, funky stuff.
Did they do the...
they teased everything.
And then they sat under that big...
Oh, sure. I have one. I actually saved it.
Can I tell you something?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have it as a piece in your house?
I have the seat part in my storage space because I thought I'd move into an apartment that could hold it. But I'm paying $200 a month to store shit
I'll never use.
And my mother has the top part, you know, the actual hood that goes into it. I thought I'd reupholster it in chintz or something.
That's
and make
a
it a
great
funky,
idea.
Isn't it? Yeah, I need that affordable housing.
Do you know?
It's the only way it's going to work, baby.
Do you know that way of drying your hair is like the best way of not having frizzy hair? And
I know it.
That's why people use a diffuser and stuff.
We used to. I mean, I used that thing until probably college. It was in my mother's basement because when they sold, she kept one. And I used the hard plastic rollers and I'd set my hair and then put a net over it and sit in the dryer.
Oh, my God. You know what my mother told me the worst thing was?
What?
You can't walk out of the house with rollers in your hair.
No, that's not. Yeah. I remember my most vivid memory of somebody doing that was in the Bronx when I was at my grandmother's house one day. I slept over, woke up in the morning, and the lady next door was screaming at her son, and she had rollers in her hair. And I just came in to hear only this line, "Because you have to go to fucking school, that's why." That's all I heard. That's like the memory I have of what happens to you when you go outside with rollers in your hair.
Now, I just want you also to know, you know, I just want you to know that I grew up in New Jersey next to the Antonellis and the DiSavinos. So I love Italian people.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I find the similarities between Jews and...
I think the most prominent feature is, from my perspective, the kids never have to leave the house. You know,
right? There's my this parents bond, weren't
like
bond.
My parents weren't like stay, don't leave. But I never left, and they never said don't. They never said don't stay.
Right, my son is with
me
right now.
They just let
me.
You know,
my 23.
How old is your son?
The 21's going to be 20. He's 23. The older one, he's with me. The 18-year-old is at a prep school playing basketball because he's going to college.
Lovely.
Yeah. Okay, so. You hung out in the salon. Did your father cut the hair? Did everyone
had their own regulars,
right?
And their stations, you know.
Did all the women come to see Salvatore?
I don't know that. I wouldn't say that, but he was fun.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, he passed away about 2 years ago. Georgette, one of his operators. That's what they call them. Because of Facebook, people find each other now.
Yes.
From the deep.
That's why you don't have
history.
To go to the high school reunion.
That's kind of true. Or when you go, everybody's very hip to what everybody else has been doing.
Well, I heard you got a divorce.
Yeah, they've read up.
Yeah,
they've done they know your backstory. But anyway. And she wrote these lovely things like, because she'd been reaching out to him, and then in the interim, he passed away, and then she wrote to me and said, oh, I remember how funny he was and how he left. He was a funny guy, my father. Yeah. Very funny guy. And the job I used to have was to take the brushes and with a teasing comb, pull out all the hair on the brushes and throw it away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then put the brushes in this sort of like cylinder that had holders for each of the brushes.
Right.
And then I would wash them with shampoo, rubbing two together, and then put them in the cylinder that would go up into the dryer and dry the wet brushes.
Oh, wow,
you know?
Cool.
And I remember that blue Barbicide, I think it is.
Yes,
it's
yes.
That, it's that tall.
With the combs in it?
Yeah, with the combs.
And it has a little thing, yeah.
And I was at a fancy spa working, of course. I wasn't... I wasn't giving massages or, you know, cleaning the bathroom, but I was absolutely given access to the fancy facilities. And I saw this same exact blue water in the same exact tall glass
that
jar.
That stuff, let me tell you something. Don't fix it if it's not broken.
I love that.
Yeah.
It'll do fine.
So how old were you when they sold the salon?
Oh, I don't know. I was in maybe 12 or something.
And then your father became a bus driver and your mother went to real estate.
Yeah.
And at that time, you went into this parochial school. Now, were you popular like in grammar school, middle school?
We'll take a picture and you can post it because I had the thickest glasses in the world. All right.
Yeah, you have eye issues. Is that correct?
A lot. Ever since birth. Very, 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 very
nearsighted. You know what that's from?
The inbreeding.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Well, happily, I'll blame somebody.
Okay.
I'd like to blame somebody.
Wait, do your siblings have eye issues?
Nope. I'm the only one.
Okay.
You know, everybody wears reading glasses.
Did your mother eat a lot of carrots? She should have eaten more carrots.
Well, I asked my mother if she took any particular medications when she was pregnant, and here's the thing: we're diverting into other interesting areas.
Sorry,
but my mother was only 19 when she had 20 when she had me, and clearly young and inexperienced about a lot of things. But she told her doctor she didn't want to take medications. She didn't want to be knocked out.
Wow, right? Good for her.
Bastard knocked her out.
What a fucking...
Isn't
this is
disgusting?
Men and their fucking bullshit.
Absolutely.
Take your fucking hands off my body.
If I think of it, kills me. Because my mother, and I don't think of it a lot, because we're not that kind of people.
But she had the agency to, you know...
She did. So like on Mother's Day, I should be more like this. We all should be.
Right.
Mom, what were your memories of having me? You know what I'm saying? She doesn't have any.
Fuck
you know
him.
I mean? She doesn't have any. She doesn't remember
him.
Her first child being put in her arms.
He's a fuck. And I want him dead.
Right. Well, he is, happily. So
was he Jewish?
His name was Smith. So he probably was.
Yeah. Fuck
we'll
you, Smith.
That. So the thing is that parochial school I went to, all right, my high school, my fancy high school.
And it's Catholic, right?
It's Catholic, but they had a parenting class.
Wow.
And we had it at the teacher's home because it was an extra sort of, she only had this one class. And that is where we learned about so many things, about birth control, but also about how to talk to your child, how to do that active listening with a child. Like,
wow.
Oh, so, you know,
that's
your doll
so
broke,
ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's like, and that makes you sad that the doll broke, you know, instead of, oh, don't worry, it'll be okay, let's kiss the doll, which is fine.
So acknowledging that you have feelings
and
that they're valid.
And talking about childbirth, and she had a couple of kids. The one of them she was awake for, another one they knocked her out, and she showed us slides. This was best kids. A slide is still motion picture. Anyway, photographs of her on the slide screen after the birth of the child where she'd been knocked out, and her sort of holding the child, looking so not present, so not there, so out of it. And I never forgot that. Never forgot it.
I have to say, the greatest moment is holding that baby and looking. It's just I can't even explain it. And my older son, my ex had, and she was having issues, and they just handed him right to me. And so I had that moment.
Mm.
And then, you know, I had the same moment with Ben. I mean, it's the most, it's so fuck you, man. Fuck you.
Mm.
But all right, this is just to say something. You know, I just read this article that this kid was living on like French fries and like a early teen and French fries and like chicken nuggets for years.
Oh God.
He's blind. He became blind.
It's funny because the first thing, cause I'm going through is I am practically almost completely blind in one eye.
No way.
Yeah. And I have the other one sort of going. So I'm in a tenuous
precarious place
now. And I have been doing absolutely everything on every level you can imagine, from spiritual to metaphysical, to going to the freaking gym, to diet. Now, look, I always knew what garbage was because my 19-year-old mother, my 20-year-old mother when she had me, also, there was very rarely was there garbage in her house. Entenmann's mm-hmm. was the one exception.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It was, yeah, it was sacred.
Oh, Lord.
It was, you know, it was... It was it. That was dessert.
What's yours? Pecan and, Danish ring?
Oh, we had
the coffee cake was so good.
It was a coffee cake. It was and all, there was
even
always.
Even the vanilla with the chocolate. That was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The blackout cake was a thing too. The chocolate blackout cake. Yeah, I know. So there was that, but it was always in moderation, which is, I think, look, I'll blame anybody on being overweight. So I blame the fact that my mother portioned out everything and wouldn't let me eat. My mother wouldn't let me be fat. So that's why I'm fat,
you know,
Mom.
You're following, Varla Jane did the podcast the last 2 weeks. And he was a very fat kid and his mother put a lock on the refrigerator and treated him differently.
It's and very hard.
And it's, you know, I'm just going to say this, for my 16th birthday, my grandmother bought me this book, the women doctor's diet for teenage girls. That was my present.
Oh God.
And
oh God.
And I look back and I say, because I was so big, I'm the size of a male football. I really am the size of a male football player. And
well, you're tall, but
I'm tall.
Were you
but
heavy?
I look back and I wasn't even, I'm the heaviest I've ever been now.
Yeah, I know we all do that, right?
Yeah, but it's menopause and I'm on antidepressants and, you know, I'm writing a book, but whatever it is, it is. But I wasn't. Yeah. And I watched this episode of Room 222, okay? And Bob Balaban.
That's Jewish. Oh, Bob Balaban's Jewish. Okay.
Sorry. Bob Balaban was playing it was an after school special. And Bob Balaban, it might have been Room 222. All right. Anyway, he was playing.
After school specials are Jewish?
Yeah. No. I just, okay. Bob Balaban. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing.
Okay.
Bob Balaban played this kid who was like a sophomore, whatever. He was he was the new kid and he was really obnoxious because he was fat, right?
Yeah.
And at the end, it's like, I think it was Room 2. They're like, you're great. You don't have to, you don't have to overcome, you know, whatever. Or he was miserable. He was like, well, you know, I don't remember, but there was a personality problem because of his, because he was overcompensating. And I look at that. He's not even fat. Fat in the 60s and 70s is not like these people that walk around here and they're like, oh, it's not like, even if you went to go to McDonald's or Burger King, the soft drink was fucking 8 ounces.
I know, they were tiny.
And the ringtings, they were tiny.
They were little. They were little.
I know. We have no portion control.
No,
okay.
We don't. We're disgusting. Our portions are... I just came from Fort Worth yesterday.
Go to fucking... Oh, my God. Oh, go to Wisconsin. It's like, oh, have the fried cheese.
Have the beer cheese soup. I went to Minneapolis, they had... I said, what in heaven's name is beer cheese soup? And I said, well, it's...
Cheese.
Soup made of cheese and beer. And
it's,
I just
so...
thought, you're allowed to that's allowed?
Yeah.
I just felt like it could be allowed.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Why were we talking about overweight?
I don't, just because you blame your mother for the overweightness.
But there was a reason, and I have to circle back to...
This is called menopause, 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 menopause.
Okay. We were talking about the stuff in the house. And
right.
Anyway, my mother was very, very progressive even in that way.
And
trying not to have preservatives and things like that.
And also, your mother worked.
Oh, because of the eating.
Yes, for the eating.
I've been eating, really trying to eat not processed foods.
Oh, right,
because
the eye. We got there.
Not processed foods.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. It's not the hardest thing in the world either. It depends on how extreme you get. I know somebody who eats nothing processed, not even oil. It's too processed.
Okay.
She takes it to that
extreme. My brother's like that.
Right. But honestly, it changes your palate. It, like, I passed this place called Juice. Something like that. Juice Press is called. And I would open the door to that place, smell the veganness, and then just close it and go, not in a million years.
Yeah. I walk in, but they just did a study. I read all the time. I'm like a fucking mental patient, but they just did a study, and vegans and vegetarians are now 20% more likely to get heart disease. There's some disease. I have it on my phone. I'll tell you later.
What I discovered doing this, like trying to eat less meat and blah, 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 is that I could probably go really, really pure. I think,
right,
because you get scared. You think, no, I can't live my life like that, never having a piece of bacon ever, 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 or whatever. But what I discovered after doing it for a few months is that I go off the wagon and have a lot of ice cream or a hamburger. And I can go back on. I can then just say,
God.
I can go for three,
you know,
4 weeks, okay?
You know,
and then have whatever the hell I want whenever I want it. And then just go back on.
The time I got to, there were two times where I got to, like, my goal weight. One was a clinical depression.
What does that feel like? Oh, clinical depression.
Yeah, so that was not bad. But once I came out, it took a couple of years to really come out. But once I came out, one of my friends was like, Judy, I know you're terribly depressed. But boy, that depression diet is good. And the other was, I went on Weight Watchers and I had one day a week where I could eat whatever the fuck I want. Yeah. And I just did Weight Watchers and I cheated one day and it was fucking easy. Mm. Okay, so you went to high school, you had to wear a uniform.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that your now a teacher would never bring the kid to the house to discuss.
This was a class, so we all came to this.
Right.
It was the full class.
Yeah, but they would never allow that now.
Oh, not now.
No,
of course not.
You can't do anything.
No,
did you get hit? Did you get hit? Did you get smacked?
No, I had no bad. I had no bad experiences in Catholic grammar school or high school. No, absolutely not.
Did you like going to school with all girls?
I did. Here's the thing. I went to school with all girls. I had no problem with it. I did, you know, the plays with the boys' school, so I saw boys.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So when you did a play, it was with the brother school?
The brother school. And I didn't realize until after the fact, the two things that I realized about going to an all-girls school was, first of all, it really does give you a better sense of your strength as a person. I could say as a woman, but no, as a person. Because when you, let's say you run for student government or you're the head of a club or something, you don't have that, the boys will vote for the boys and the
girls
will vote for the girls.
Right, everything's equal. It's an equal playing field.
Yeah, you don't consider yourself as a woman.
Right.
You consider yourself as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But And look, life but isn't that
do
way.
Do you think it's a bigger shock when you go into the real world?
I thought it was going to be. I thought, well, but when I go to my first college, co-ed college class, it's going to be like, oh, boys. I don't even remember. I was nothing. It was perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Maybe because I felt normal. I also have to tell you, I like uniforms. Now, I didn't like the ones I had to wear because they were a little bizarre, but, you know, the kilt concept.
As a mother,
yeah,
will now say, it would have been so much fucking easier.
Of course. It's they just have to amend them a little bit.
Pain in the fucking ass. And I have boys. Mm. And they're like, you know, at some point they decided they were into fashion.
Oh,
you know, and it was like, because they're in New York and they have to
be. You.
But you know, they went through the slob sweatpants thing. I was like, no.
Did their pants go down below their ass? Like
they did for
things?
A little, not around me.
Okay.
But they did. Yeah, they did it, and I'd scream at them, but they weren't that bad. But you know, sometimes this slobby, you know, I used to comics guy. I remember one time I was at Catch a Rising Star, and Adam Sandler was up there. He was like a 19, and Louis Ferranda, who now runs Caroline's, but he was the talent coordinator at Catch a Rising Star, says to me, he's going to be a big star. And I go, he's in a fucking sweatpants and a dirty shirt and he hasn't shaved. And I was of this, because I think because my parents were so from a different generation. Yeah. You get dressed up for work. It is your job. And every time I did stand up to this day, I'm like, oh, I have to get dressed for work. I just started not putting on so much makeup because I don't care.
It's the same with even cabaret performers. Yeah. I'll agonize over what to wear.
Right.
And then I'll go see somebody's act in a place like Provincetown.
Right.
And they're like jeans,
yes,
and you know,
ripped.
And yeah. And I think, and the show's just as good. Not that it's nice to present a colorful image that
I
pops
like it.
And
you
leaves
love,
a memory.
Even Elisa
mean?
Last night, yeah. She said that red shirt, that blouse is beautiful. You know, like you, I feel like cabaret performers
I gotta
are really
tell you
a
where to get it,
up.
By the way. You know why? You can roll it up in a ball and it just,
I
whoosh,
love it.
It just,
it's
no
fucking
wrinkles.
Great.
Bring it to it with your carry on. That's all I live for.
I love
now.
It.
It's just how to pack. But the uniform thing, I have to say, there too, there's equality. And even when I had, even in our uniforms, there was the girl who we could wear our own sweaters.
Yes.
Who'd have the cashmere sweater set.
Exactly.
And the beautiful, matching, perfectly beautiful knee socks that cost her $20. And I had to get the ones that, you know.
Tube socks.
Yeah, yeah. And these kids should be able to wear like khakis or jeans and then have like a rainbow assortment of t-shirts. And then everybody can sort of get a little expressive.
And then it's also you're not like obsessing over, oh, look at this one wear. Well,
that's
and this
exactly.
One.
You're not
but
comparing.
But it's also, you can be more creative because you have this basic, like this
yeah,
basic
you have the restrictions
thing,
and that makes and you think out of the
yes.
box.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. Now, I also wanted to say one other thing regarding your eyes and your eyesight. If it was to happen to anyone, the fact that you are so auditory and like amazingly, I read an interview you did with the Times and the last line, what was it? You
I
said,
don't know. What was
the last line was, you know, they said, did you prepare? The interviewer had asked you, do you prepare? Do you listen to albums over and over again? And you said, no, I go to the theater and I pay attention. To me, I don't want you to have bad. I mean, of course, but I'm just saying your gift is go whatever. You could be sitting in a wheelchair, you know, but it's so.
Well, I appreciate it. And I do, you know, because the problem is that I tend to complain and
That was Christine hitting the bell.
I always worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Ding, ding, ding. And believe me, but in tandem, and you're probably like this too, because people in our business, and we're tangential,
the
stand up and theater and whatever. I really have to say, we appreciate, we know when we have it good. We know that sitting on the freaking deck of this beautiful.
We
inn,
know now.
Right, we know
we
now, not
now.
After the fact.
No, I'm saying we didn't know in our 20s. You know, when you first
I didn't have it in my 20s. So.
No, I'm saying if you first, like young people who get, I see it in comics, who will get something and they think this is going to last forever.
Oh, yeah.
When you have to fucking work and work in shitholes. I mean, I can't even, I would go to lunchrooms and at like, yeah. you know, at colleges and, you know.
I got a nursing home on Monday, so don't even.
Oh, I love that. But
yeah, but so basically yeah. you understand that. So then what happens is as you, you know, as you move forward and you actually realize not only have I earned this, but this is not a meritocracy. Just because you're good doesn't mean you're going to get anything.
Right.
You know it and I know it.
Yeah.
And the fact that you sort of made the cut or nobody noticed that, you know, you slipped through. Being good is a given. We know you're wonderful, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get rewarded for it. So the fact that you actually do get rewarded for it, you have to appreciate it. Even the fact that, oh, here's exactly what I mean. Now, I don't have it with me, but the one thing that Judy and I shared that is of so much value to me is that we were at the Friars Club on a night, the only two women at Mickey Freeman, who was in the Bill Crow, show, he wanted me to perform. I guess he wanted you to perform. And we have a photograph of the people that were on, that got up and paid tribute to Mickey on his, maybe his 90th birthday. God, I hope it was, because he didn't look 80.
Yeah.
But it was Larry Storch, Jerry Stiller, hold on, Fivish Finkel, give him two. Hold on, Larry Storch. Professor Irwin Corey.
Yes.
Pat Cooper, he doesn't get one.
Yeah.
Italian. Hold on.
Hilarious.
Joe Franklin.
Dead.
I'm missing a big one. I'm missing a really, really big one. But we have a photograph on the stairs of the Friars Club thing. And we're the only two women in this picture. And I don't look good in any of the shots, okay? I look like I'm in shock.
Oh,
but
please. I'm standing with, like, you know, Jerry Stiller and Irwin Corey. I'm fucking gigantic in that photo. I am so head, you know.
Yeah, but they were all withering
five-ish.
Anyway.
Yeah.
They were all, they didn't have much calcium left, and so they were just, their bones were all brittle. But
that was how we, you know.
But my point is gratitude, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, yes, we worked. We did our stuff. Yes, they wanted us because they knew we were going to put out and give them what
and
they
we
needed.
And we were good.
And we were good.
Those guys loved us. And they, you know, Alan King was really good to me. Buddy Hackett asked me to open for him and then put his head between my boobs. But I'm just saying, they saw the raw talent that they saw in, like, you know, Francis Fay or Bell Barth, those.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Anyway.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's
just Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.